watching them accomplish that goal and seeing their self-confidence just go through the roof, and then having that carry over into other aspects of their life is huge. And that's one of my favorite things that I get to see. It builds their self-esteem and their self-confidence, and then they can carry that forward into the rest of their life.
It's so true. We could give you 1,000 stories of people. He's so right about that confidence.
Welcome to Everything is Clinical, a podcast for mental health clinicians. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jackie Dunnigan, a licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm also an AAMFT approved supervisor. And I do believe that when it comes to the therapy room, everything is clinical. I hope you get as much value out of listening to these discussions with various seasoned professionals as I did in having them. As a clinician, I believe it's important to have a referral network to supplement the clinical work that you're doing with your clients. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about using fitness as a supplement to your clinical work. My guests today are John and Lauren Biesing. John and Lauren are the owners of Move and Breathe in Cumming, Georgia. Together, they've created a unique space. It offers clients an opportunity to benefit with regard to fitness, yoga, nutrition, and it also offers a great community. I highly recommend you check out their bios and the note pages. They both have rich backgrounds. Lauren has been practicing and teaching yoga for over 20 years. She also has a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, so she brings that clinical perspective as well. John retired from the NFL in 2012, and since then, he's been helping others achieve their fitness goals. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Would you each mind giving a little intro about yourself?
John, you want to go first?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I grew up playing team sports and was fortunate enough to play college football and then play professionally in the NFL for a few years. And so that really spurned my passion for movement. And once I got done with professional football, I jumped right into the strength conditioning field. And that's where I've been for the last 12, 13 years. I've worked with athletes. I've worked with the general population from sports performance to just health and fitness, which is currently where we're at right now with our gym that Lauren and I own together. So I'll let her introduce herself, but she is the yoga piece of Move and Breathe.
I started my journey actually thinking I was going to be a clinician. I have a master's degree in marriage and family therapy from East Carolina University, and shifted gears after a really impactful moment when my mom had cancer, and she used yoga during her cancer journey. She just started taking yoga, and it was really instrumental in her healing. So that kind of got me moving in the fitness direction. I had been in fitness previous to that, like teaching aerobics and things like that, but not necessarily yoga. My mom and I opened a yoga studio in 2013. John and I met through me teaching yoga to athletes. I specialized in teaching yoga for athletes for a period of time, and he ended up coming to yoga, and then we realized this is way better together. My yogis needed his strength training and his athletes needed my yoga. And here we are now with at Move and Breathe, which we opened together in May of 2022.
Right.
I know you're very passionate about the impact of movement on mental health. And if it's okay with the two of you, we're going to jump in there. But I know you do much more than just fitness. I would say really what the two of you do, because I know you do some nutrition, and it's really very holistic, and really I perceive it as really a wellness approach.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you said holistic, I mean, that's exactly what we're trying to do. It is more of a lifestyle that we want to encourage people with, and that includes, you know, your movement piece, but also nutrition, community, stress, sleep, all of those things.
Yeah, and I know you two really put it all together. How do you see that working as a supplement to mental health counseling?
I honestly don't know how they could be separate. We know that movement is medicine for our bodies. And I'm going to kind of go back just a little bit. I feel like where we've gotten in our society is really that we've outsourced so much of our movement to technology. especially once COVID happened and everybody just went almost 100% digital for everything. There's so many little things that we don't even realize. We just aren't moving like our bodies are meant to move. And that has a major impact on not only our physical health, but our mental health. When we try to, what I call like power bar our movement into maybe 1 hour, that keeps people from being more active, moving their body. And every system in our entire body is dependent upon movement. And you can look at that and think back a little bit. If you've ever had a cast, if you had a cast on your arm and then you go to take off the cast on your arm, you aren't using those muscles and you look at that arm, it's weak. I've seen people after they take a cast off and they try to compare their right and their left arm. And they were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how different they look. Those muscles haven't been used. And that is what happens to our bodies. And that impacts our brain. It's all connected. So when people start moving, it's integral to their mental health.
Putting that out there, I know that that is really key. Forever we've known and you hear, and I'll even have clients say to me, I know I should be exercising. When they're talking about mental health, I was surprised. I had read an article recently that said that on average, only 10% of clinicians talk about exercise with regard to mental health. That number seems so low. At first, it surprised me. But then after a second thought, it didn't, because I think so oftentimes that's outside of our lane, right? And so we don't go there. And, you know, I think that's really a key piece.
One book that I would recommend for clinicians is Kelly McGonigal. She's a research psychologist out of Stanford. She's written several books, but one of her books that I think every clinician needs to read, and it's an easy listen, it's called The Joy of Movement, and it's how exercise helps us find happiness, hope, connection, and courage. And it's a wonderfully written book of story after story of how movement has impacted people. She talks about the studies that we have now that we know how physical activity influences our brain and that it reduces inflammation in our brain, which over time protects against depression and anxiety, loneliness. We know that regular exercise also remodels the physical structure of the brain to make you more receptive to joy and social connection. Your muscles are like little, she says in the book, it's one of my favorite things. She's like, your muscles manufacture little hope molecules. So when you exercise, contracting your muscles, you produce myokines. Your muscles produce myokines. And they are literally considered by scientists hope molecules. They help inspire you. It's one of the reasons why even exercise is so beneficial in the beginning of your day, because it sets you up for joy, for happiness, to make better decisions about your health. I think that just being armed with a little bit of knowledge about the benefits of what exercise does would be such a value add to a clinician helping someone. For me, starting with marriage and family therapy, and then I had two kids, and there were times in my life where I was like, I'm not even using that degree. And now I realize I use that degree every single day. It looks a little different than I thought it was going to look, but I am 100% the work that we are doing in our facility and through yoga and nutrition, accountability, strength training, all of that. People's lives are changing.
Lauren, I'm so glad you said that, because I think that that's one of the big things we have to realize is that therapy can take so many different shapes. So I tell people all the time who are my clients that taking off therapy to go on some adventure, that is therapeutic. That's huge.
Well, and I also think how much further along they're going to be able to get in therapy. So like just the movement is like, to me, it's foundational. If you don't have that piece, it's going to be harder to work on the things that they need to work on so that they can move forward. But if they've got that component going for them, they're physically moving. All systems are working better. Every system in our entire body is dependent upon movement. Our heart, our muscles, our brain, it all works together. There are no accidents in that, right? Like these are just pillars of health that we really focus on as a facility at Move and Breathe, but I think it's fundamental to your mental health.
I agree, but now I do want to hit on something that I think it's in the way. I know the two of you, and I think you're both amazing people, and I think you do amazing work. But, you know, Lauren, you've got 20 years and all of this experience and all of these credentials, all of this specialized training. You're doing the specialized training, right? So you're like way, way up there on your fitness journey. And then, I mean, John, I mean, the NFL, right? And now the Ironman and things. I'm like, are you kidding me? But they're so high level. And so, you know, here we have the client in the office who is having a hard time even just getting out of bed in the morning, right? How do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, I think that is the key, right? You know, because we're all coming from different starting points. We all have different stories. We all have different backgrounds on where we're beginning. And I think the most important thing is creating an environment that we can be successful in. And that's going to look different for everybody. And so in the beginning, we like to encourage people to just try to do a little bit more than wherever you're at right now. So the person that is sedentary right now, it might be just getting up and going for a 5-minute walk after lunch. You know, that could be increasing physical activity enough that's going to help them or start them on that journey. Creating a system, creating an environment where you're going to be successful in, which means looking at things like trying to make the healthy choice the easy choice, trying to surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you and lift you up and help you move your body. Those are two things that people can do that will really give them a leg up in terms of getting started. And then, like anything else, once you get a little momentum and you have a little success breeds action, right? Success breeds motivation. And then you can start to work toward maybe some bigger goals or more movement in your practice. But in the beginning, just starting with moving more than what you're doing right now is a great place to begin.
And I'll add to that, we call them movement snacks at our studio. So maybe in between Zoom calls, you do 10 squats to your chair. Maybe you stand up and do some little calf raises or just stretch your arms up. There's some very basic things that you can do from your house. And then the truth is that accountability really helps, and having a community is massively important. We all have this innate desire to belong and to be part of something. And that's what joining a facility can really do for someone. So joining a gym, joining a yoga studio, a exercise group, a walking group, find a buddy, someone that's going to help hold you accountable. Another thing, when people come to us and they're like, I need to get started, I don't know where to begin. And I tell people all the time, like, if you have a body that's breathing, you can do gentle yoga. If you can lay in a bed, you can do gentle yoga. In our studio, like, there aren't any mirrors. You come in, you're on your mat. Our motto in our space is be a student of your body. We really encourage people to just show up. Each of us look completely different on the outside, and we are just that different on the inside. So listen to your body. You have full permission in a yoga practice. You have permission to do what you need to do for yourself. And if that's pause in child's pose or rest on your back and just breathe, there's no judgment whatsoever.
I believe it. And I've done the relaxing yoga in your old studio. And the population, it wasn't what you might expect. It was wonderful.
And then also, just for clinicians, we have at our space, like, we have a referral list, you know, like,
right.
We've got counselors on our referral list, physical therapists on our referral list, chiropractors, nutritionists, dietitians. You know, it's important to know who you're referring to. So I know the therapists who refer to us, they've been to our studio. We have several different therapists who regularly practice yoga or do strength training with us at our space. So if you want to have a place to refer, you should try those places out. It's nice to be able to say, like, go see John over at Move and Breathe. He's going to get you set up. Developing that network is really important, and having a few different things, like, it's good for the clinicians themselves to get out and exercise and do while they're doing some, you know, shopping around to find the right places where they feel like this would be a good fit for this person or this would be a good fit for that person. it's just a little kind of a BOGO. They'll get healthy on their journey shopping for the right for the right place. But I do think it's important to feel confident in who you're referring people to.
It does. I think you're so right that for clinicians, it makes it a lot easier to make that referral with confidence if you get out there and you kind of experience. And the truth of the matter is, you can look at it as a clinician, as a marketing opportunity as well. I've referred clients over to y'all, and I know that you've also referred clients my direction. Yep. As well. I know you also do some goal setting too with clients.
Yes.
How does that work?
Yeah, sure. We do nutrition and accountability coaching. That is part of it. So in our members that do that, work individually with a coach, and that where they're setting, you know, specific goals for them. A lot of that obviously revolves around the nutrition piece, but we include exercise in there, sleep, stress management, your support system, all of those things. But then outside of that, for all of our ultimate members, so these people that do both strength training and yoga, we do semi-annually goal setting sessions with them. We sit down with them one-on-one twice a year, and we just do a little situation update. Hey, where are you at in life right now? What are you working towards? What are some things that are going well? And then what are some things that you want to work on? And so we're able to dig into that with them and just do a check-in with them. And, you know, a lot of times it relates to things going on in the gym, in the yoga studio, but a lot of times it's also stuff outside of that, that we can have an impact in the work that we do in our facility. You know, that is a great opportunity for us to connect with our members on a personal level, to get to know them a little bit better. And then, you know, we know if they are working towards their goals and they're achieving their goals and having success, they're much more likely to stick with us and continue to move their bodies in a healthy way.
I am curious, John, whenever you say things outside the gym, what kind of things are you referring to?
Sure. I mean, like a lot of it could be sleep is one example, right? Like, you know, we're not directly impacting their sleep, maybe coming in and taking a class and learning how to be more mindful and then, you know, that helping them go to bed better at night, or they come in and they exercise their bodies, they're set up for sleep better on in the day. But we can help give them suggestions because that's in our wheelhouse of where they can take suggestions that we have as far as like that movement piece. Well, you know, hey, if you just go out and you get a 10-minute walk after every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? We know that that's going to help improve digestion. That's going to, you know, help with circadian rhythms and your sleep. Could help boost your mood, things like that, lower blood sugar, all of that, right? Like they're not actively doing that in the gym, but those are habits that they can work on outside of the gym that are going to help them be their best self.
And just to add to that, when they work with a nutrition coach, they have a separate app that they use, and where the nutrition coach communicates with them on that app, and then they have daily habits that they can check off. So there's a little dopamine hit when you check the box that, like, I did my thing. For me, with my nutrition coach, my things I'm working on are getting 7 hours of sleep. I know sleep is so important, and I need to do all the things that make sure my sleep hygiene is really well. And my other one is 10 minutes of meditation a day. Those are my goals with my nutrition coach that have nothing to do with food.
And I love too, Lauren, that you put out there, you said my nutrition coach. It's not that you've reached a certain level where you're not being coached. You have a coach you're working with too.
And that goes back to what you were saying. Oh, well, you guys are up here. I tell people all the time, it's called a yoga practice. It's not a yoga perfect. I'm always practicing yoga. I may be a yoga teacher and I may lead teachers and teach teacher training, but I still practice. Like today I went to yoga. I did strength training at 10 and I did a yoga practice, my personal yoga practice at the studio. I took a class at 11. It was a gentle restoring yoga class. I'm always still practicing yoga just like the rest of everyone else.
And I know, Lauren, you just mentioned too, the teacher training. That's something you've had mental health clinicians taking part in, right?
Yes. I think that some places allow that to count as a continuing education for you guys. I've had almost every teacher training I've done has had some clinician in it. It's awesome to be able to direct people having, you know, I do a lot of work with looking at vagus nerve and down regulation and really trying to focus in on that. Polyvagal theory, a lot of the work that we do in yoga helps to improve that vagal tone. I'll get clinicians in for teacher training for that as well.
We've talked about this before, and you've put out there, it doesn't mean you're necessarily having to actively be practicing yoga, or you're going to go into being an instructor. It's really getting you that information. And as you said, it can count as a clinical piece, as a CE as well.
Yes, well.
This is kind of putting a bridge here between the mental health clinical practice and the fitness and wellness practice. Are there some specific areas that you might say, oh, this would be a good person for referral?
You're saying outside of, like you mentioned, you know, like depression, anxiety, those two be kind of the obvious in terms of people who could benefit from a movement practice. What are other segments of the population, you know, that could use it as well? I mean, our answer would probably be everybody.
Oh my God, everybody.
Right.
I'm like, if you have a body, you better be moving it. I mean,
so people with a body.
Anybody with a body that's breathing, if you have a breathing body, you need a movement practice, some kind of movement practice. I mean, people in pain, I get a lot of people, this might help, like,
yes.
So people who've been to pain clinics, you know, we've had several people who have, at the last minute, I'm going to try yoga, one last ditch effort before I do this surgery, because I've been at this pain clinic and struggling with low back pain. I mean, you can look at the research that yoga comes out on top for low back pain over every single thing else out there. And people who are in pain feel like they're losing their mind, because you know just as well as I do that patterns that fire together wire together, right? And so if you're going to continually fire that same pattern, you're going to get the same result. And you've got to get something in there to shift that, right? And so yoga is really helpful. It's helpful for back pain. I think mostly goes back to polyvagal theory. Like, once they get their nervous system downregulated and they're not hyper-focused on being in constant pain, that then they can get out of that pain cycle and start to build some better habits, feel better, move better, live better. Like, those are what we say all the time.
Yeah, I know. You've also had your own pain journey too.
Sure.
That
oh my gosh.
Right. And your mom with her healing too.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question to me. I say this all the time. When my mom was going through her cancer journey, my mom had stage 4 uterine cancer that had spread to her lungs and her stomach. I think they said she had like a 35% chance of survival from when it had spread. And I say this all the time. It's not like she drank green juice and did yoga and healed herself. She did chemo and she did radiation and she did all the things, but she added yoga practice. And what I believe now from the science that I know and everything else and my experience is that she was able to create space where healthy cells wanted to thrive. When you're sick, when you're in pain, when you have cancer, you're beating yourself up mentally. You're like, what went wrong? What did I do? You're blaming yourself. You're in this like, oh my God, I'm going to die. It was such a terrible mental space to be in. When she added that meditation and yoga practice, she created space where healthy cells wanted to thrive. And that's what happened. We just celebrated her 70th birthday. She's healthy. She drives around in a little single person RV. She's on a trip this week. We're taking care of her chickens this week, and she's out at the beach in her little single person RV. But same thing with people with infertility. I had a woman who struggled with infertility. This was her last chance. She had done acupuncture, I mean, you know, voodoo, everything, like everything that she could do to get pregnant. And on her very last, like, you know, there was no more money left to do any more IVF. Like, the money was gone. This was the last cycle she was going to do. And she added restorative yoga. She downregulated her nervous system. Her body was in a hostile environment anymore, where she was beating herself up all day long over, I'm not good enough. Why can't my body do this thing that every other woman's body does? And she's actually a member of our studio today, still doing strength training. She's got 3 kids. Things are great, but same thing. So cancer, sickness, pain, infertility, lots of other things other than just anxiety and depression.
There is a lot of research out there, particularly yoga, for the benefits of combining mental health with yoga and, you know, polyvagal theory, which I guess we probably should have explained briefly just in case people are like, what is this polyvagal theory? It is dealing with the vagus nerve that helps calm our body. So whenever we do deep breathing, we down regulate the body. The yoga helps, the breathing in yoga, the stretching, all of that helps the mind-body connection.
And it also helps because you're disconnecting. When you come into a yoga class, like I call it the yoga womb. Like it's like this little womb of like sweet, sacred space where nothing else. If I do yoga on a video at my house, I'm going to do it for 10 minutes, maybe 20. They say the average length of time someone will stay on a 1 hour yoga class that they do from a video is 18 minutes. I tell people all the time when they come into us, this is an investment in your health. And you're going to invest now or you're going to pay later and you get to choose where you want to spend it. But if you invest in your health and your wellness now, you will pay dividends into longevity, living a healthier, happier, just a better life in general.
Counseling gives you that dedicated space as well that you're talking about. You're already talking about clients who are coming in to say, okay, I need to feel better. They are looking for that protected space. It's an easy supplement, what y'all offer. But you also mentioned, John, you said like, hey, just, you know, get out there and walk for 5 minutes. And Lauren, I love, did you call it yoga snacks?
Movement snacks.
Movement snacks. I love that term.
Well, just like you think of, you know, we think of a nutritious diet. We also can think of movement as nutrition for our bodies. Movement is medicine for our bodies. And you can power bar that movement into 1 hour, or you can snack throughout the day. You could have a movement meal where you move your body in different ways. Like let's say you have a Peloton and all you do is spin. Well, you're giving yourself the same nutrient every single day. It's like only eating chicken or only eating broccoli. You're missing other nutrients. That's why if you have a nutritious movement diet, you're getting movement snacks in. You're taking the stairs instead of the elevator. You're doing your little 10 squats in between calls. Or let's say you just take calls and you go outside and walk. Those things help to increase your, John, what is it called? Your NEAT?
Your NEAT, yeah. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis. Really fancy way for sighted movement. Just physical activity. That's how outside of your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, that's how you're going to burn the most calories throughout the day. It's not through exercise, which has a specific fitness goal related to it. It's just your daily activity. If we can increase our daily activity throughout the day, we're going to get a lot more bang for our buck that way.
Awesome. What's that called again, John? Is it your NEAT?
Your NEAT.
NEAT.
N-E-A-T. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So think about bringing your groceries in. Think about walking, you know, a little bit extra, parking further away, getting up in between, taking calls and walking around a little bit. You know, instead of if you're in an office setting, instead of sending an email to that person next to you, get up and actually walk over there and talk to them.
I'm going to work on movement snacks and increasing my NEAT, although I will not remember what NEAT actually stands for, but I'll just go with NEAT. So anything that you feel like needs to be put out there that we didn't hit so far.
When you guys were talking about different populations that could benefit from movement, one thing that came across my mind that may seem obvious, but I think it's worth talking about is just self-confidence, self-esteem that comes from moving your body and doing things that maybe you didn't think you were capable of doing and accomplishing that physically and then having that carry over into other areas of your life. And I get to see that all the time with resistance training just because it can be something that is a little intimidating, especially working with a lot of females. It may seem like more of a masculine thing to do, but I've got females that come in all the time and their goal might be to do a strict push-up, right? Or be able to do one chin-up or be able to do, you know, this many pounds on a deadlift. And watching them accomplish that goal and seeing their self-confidence just go through the roof and then having that carry over into other aspects of their life is huge. And that's one of my favorite things that I get to see. It builds their self-esteem and their self-confidence, and then they can carry that forward into the rest of their life.
It's so true. We could give you 1,000 stories of people. He's so right about that confidence. I mean, we have one client who she's really small. She's like 4'9". I mean, she's like a very small person. When she first came to us, she's like, I can't do that. I'm like, yes, you can. Try. It has carried over in her life in so many ways. Like she had this enormous fear of flying. The confidence that she gained has now she's getting on planes. Like, is she still get a little bit nervous? Yes, she still gets a little bit nervous. She wouldn't even go on a trip that required her to get on an airplane before. You just see the confidence in these people. And it is wonderful to see how much these little things that are happening from just lifting some weights can do for their whole life.
I have a lot of clients, particularly women who are around my age. So women like in their 50s or 40s or 60s, or they are really struggling with body image. It's really common. My big thing is like, me too. Like, I get it. I totally get it. But I do think that movement is one area there that can make a big difference.
Also, how important that is in terms of like osteoporosis, preventing osteopenia, age-related sarcopenia is a real thing. Sarcopenia is age-related muscle loss. It gets dramatic after 60 and 70, or, you know, it starts in the 40s, but if you're not doing something to combat that, you're really putting yourself at a disadvantage, not only physically, but also mentally. It's so important for brain fog, mental cognition, memory, all of those things helps to keep your brain sharp.
Yeah. And just remember, like, this may be a foreign concept for a lot of people because this was kind of taboo for some women at that age growing up. You weren't into exercise and lifting weights and all these kind of things, right? But there have been so many studies that have gone in and shown it is never too late to start. It doesn't matter what age you are, what your training history is. The important thing is that you start, and you start today, and you do something manageable and something that you can accomplish, you know, today, and then you work on building that. Like Lauren, you know, alluded to earlier, it is a practice, right? It is about the journey. It is not about the destination. This is something that hopefully you're going to continue on for the rest of your life. So it's never that you get to one point and you say, check, I made it. I never have to exercise again in my life. I did enough exercising to carry me until the day that I die. You got to continually show up for yourself. And that's the great thing, is like, you're going to have good days and bad days, but every day is a new day for you to show up for yourself and to try to do a little bit more than you did yesterday in order to get better.
We have clients in their 70s and 80s that come in and lift weights in our facility. We have one woman who's 74 years old. She was dealing with some cognitive things. She was in the service for our country. She dealt with PTSD. She's had all kinds of things when she first came to us. She is doing amazing on no medication. She's off every medication she was on when she first came to us. She was taking cholesterol, blood pressure. She was taking a medication actually for Alzheimer's. She's on nothing now. And she is doing phenomenal. And her movement practice, her nutrition, all of that, she stays on top of it. We see that constantly.
When you take the therapy room and you expand it, you get the most bang for your buck. That being said, if people in the Metro Atlanta area do want to get hold of the two of you, I am going to put all your contact information in the notes section. But anything you want to add about people reaching out to you?
I would say one of the things that's unique to Move and Breathe is that we sit down and do what we call a new member consult with every single person that walks in the door. Everybody's unique. We offer a lot of different things. Some people come in, they just do nutrition. We have nutrition clients all over the country who do that because that can be done virtually. Some people come in and they just start with yoga. Some people come in and they do it all. I personally meet with everybody on those new member connection meetings. We sit down, I go through and explain all that we have. I learn about what their goals are. And then I help, you can think of it as like a prescribe what I think would be the best route for them. You can go to our website, movebreatheperform.com for that. You can follow us on Instagram. So there's like a little form to fill out on our website and we'll set up your new member connection meeting if you're interested in coming into our studio.
People come for the classes, they stay for the community. We've done a great job of building that up, and I'll give a lot of credit to Lauren in that. But the people in our gym, their friends, they go out to lunch together. They'll go out for coffee after the workouts. Like, it doesn't stop at the end of the class. It continues on after that. And so I think that's one of the things that we are most proud of.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, too. I appreciate it. I think it was so helpful. Music for this podcast has been provided by Audionautix.com. This podcast is purely informational and is not a replacement for supervision. Thank you for listening.